heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
This is The National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW, featured on national television this week. We'll tell you more about that. And Jerry, first of all, of course, the dedication as always.
We do this show for one reason. That's for the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, all the veterans out there. And we're never going to forget all of their families. We're here for you. God bless you. We love you.
Hope you had a great Memorial Day. You know, we talked to the public affairs director of Arlington last week.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to see those shots from Arlington and to see everything we were talking about. I mean, you know, sections of the cemetery that she was talking about that nobody ever visits and those kind of things. But record number of people again this year. And, of course, the president is there. And it's just an awesome, awesome sight every year.
Yeah. And if you ever have the chance, Randy, take a trip.
Yeah.
Take a trip out to Arlington on Memorial Day or even Veterans Day.
It's, right.
It'll put chills right up your spine.
And, happy Memorial Day.
Thank you.
To yourself.
And I had an eventful.
What'd you do?
Well, I had the honor and privilege of, we had the last known World War I veteran.
Yes.
Come to town.
Right.
The VFW hosted a private dinner for him.
Mr. Buckles,
107 years old.
How about that?
We hosted a private dinner for him Saturday night at the Liberty Museum.
The World War I Museum, yeah. Right.
And
I bet that was thrilling for him.
Right.
He had never been there, right?
He had never been there, and it's an awesome place, as you know. And then Sunday morning, there was a ceremony. Our National Junior Vice Commander presented him a gold medal and a citation.
Gave him his name is on one of the bricks there in front of the museum, right?
He was presented a flag that was flown over the museum.
That's cool.
Here's the thing, you know, and I'm going to be honest about this. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I'm going to be. You know, it's a weekend, holiday weekend.
Right.
I had to work because I had to play escorts.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm like, I'm moaning about it. Hey, I like anybody else, I have to work the weekend, you know.
Right.
But the dinner was very nice. But it really hit me on Sunday morning during the ceremony. All of a sudden, I realized what an opportunity I was involved in.
Right.
You know, here I am with the last known survivor of World War I.
Yeah.
And the significance of that day and of the night before hit me Sunday morning. And I'm just glad I had the opportunity.
And, you know, the guy, I just saw the guy on TV, but, man, he seemed, you know, ready to go.
Oh, man.
And he's 107 years old.
Yeah, and let me tell you this.
Yeah.
There were some issues about he needed a caregiver. So we got with VA and we helped arrange that. But someone had said to me, well, he has a daughter. And I'm like, yeah, but he's 107 years old. So how old is his daughter?
Right.
All right. So
she's a spry 98.
His daughter, who a very charming lady, 53 years old. So all I could say is go, Frank.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, 107 years old. And, you know, I don't know how you tell somebody, man, you don't look 107.
Right.
You know, you only look at most 105. The guy was
sharp as a tack.
Yeah, right. And I heard him speak.
Yeah.
And he's just so thrilled to be there at the World War I Museum. And, you know, I mean, he is representing an entire generation.
Generation.
You know.
And, you know, we can't discount, although it's been so many years since World War I happened, you know, we can't forget how World War I shaped the world and changed the world.
Right.
I mean, that was really the event.
Well, you know, the thing that kept running through my mind when I saw Frank Buckles was, you know, what's running through this guy's mind now in terms of what's going on in the world with Iraq and Afghanistan? I mean, you know, he was part of the generation, and then to come along and see everything that has happened since, and then now what's, you know, with all of the anti-American.
He's seen so many things.
Yeah, right. That's amazing.
You know, since 1918, he's seen it all.
That was cool.
Yeah.
So you guys probably had a lot of the same memories. Anyway, we got, let's see, what's going on the show today?
I like you less and less.
We got... We're going to be talking to George Lisicki. Is going to be on here.
National commander of VFW. Hey, he went to D.C., visited president, gave him a piece of his mind about the GI Bill.
The new GI Bill. And this isn't secondhand, folks. I mean, he talked to the president about this.
And he didn't go in and kowtow. I mean, he went in and gave him some straight talk. Huh?
Good. So we'll find out about that. And then we're going to talk to a doctor here, right? And this is in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. The director of counseling services and co-advisor of the Veterans Club there, about veterans going back to college and hopefully with the new GI Bill.
Yeah, and these people at Eau Claire get it. What a lot of people don't realize, Randy, is you get out of the military, you've been to war several times. You're trying to make that transition. You're years behind your peers. And it's a difficult, it can be, it was for me.
Yeah.
It can be a difficult thing to do, but Eau Claire is trying to make things easier for him.
Well, you went back into hair college, which is not the same. But and then we're also going to talk about PTSD again. We got a lot of hot topics to get to. And I got something I saw in the news I want to ask you about.
All right.
And we've talked about this before. Things happen.
Yeah.
They go unnoticed. If it's a veteran, it makes the news.
Yeah.
There was a story on yesterday, and I don't know if you saw it or not. It was a local story that ran nationally. A veteran, 21 years old, came back from Iraq. He's making prank 911 calls.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Anybody else in the nation makes 911 calls?
Right.
It doesn't even rate a sentence.
No. You have 911 in a can.
Right. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And you're right. And we've talked about this before.
Listen, this guy is charged with a misdemeanor that could become a more serious deal. I mean, and immediately they go to a story following that about PTSD.
Yeah.
This could be a symptom.
Hey, the guy
I
was,
mean, it was so ridiculous.
The guy was, he's 21 years
he's,
old.
He's 21 years old. He's making prank phone calls.
He's immature, obviously.
Right.
He might have had a couple of beers. Who knows? And you shouldn't be calling 911. I agree with that.
Well, of course.
And they should teach him a lesson about that. But the issue here is the veteran, like you said.
Exactly.
Just I mean, because so all veterans are going to come home and call 911.
All veterans have PTSD. They're all crazy.
Right. Yeah.
They all go nuts and they all start dialing 911.
Right.
They're just so stupid.
I know. But
And they had the phone call. I mean, they had the phone call that he made recorded on the news.
Did he say Prince Albert was stuck in a can?
I think he did. I think he did mention that.
But yeah.
Did you leave your refrigerator running? Hey, something like that.
This is going to go on. It's part of the stigma that always gets attached.
Oh, it's
gone on since Vietnam.
Chaps me.
Yeah.
It just really is amazing to me how they just hang on to something like that. And now you're going to talk about PTSD this week.
Right.
Right? What's up with the latest on?
Well, another study. You know, I hate to quote numbers, but another study out saying number of troops with PTSD has jumped nearly 50%.
Wow.
In 2007, and they expect those numbers to go up. Well, all I can say is, duh.
Yeah.
multiple. Right. I mean, someone who has deployment after deployment after deployment.
Right.
The odds are increasing every time they go out there in the combat zone that their stress levels are going to rise, that they're going to experience some sort of traumatic event.
Right.
And I want to say this again. We're talking about PTSD, and we have to make this clear. Post-traumatic stress disorder doesn't mean you're crazy.
Right.
It's not limited to people who experience combat. It can be someone who's in a bad car accident.
Sure.
It can be a woman who, was raped. It can be someone who experienced a murder. Any type of event that is out of the ordinary, post-traumatic stress disorder. And it doesn't mean you're going to come home and you're going to start making crank phone calls.
Right.
Or you're going to start shooting up the place.
Well, or
you're going to be a drunk or a drug addict.
Yeah.
There are millions of veterans.
Well, and you got to remember this too, and it's very important to keep in mind that really for the past 10 years, they've really, really started diagnosing correctly PTSD. I mean, you know, there was not such an emphasis on PTSD before. In fact, it was almost shoved to the back,
right,
so you wouldn't have to pay the benefits. So now,
right,
all of a sudden, that there is help and there's support and there's clinical research for PTSD,
yeah,
more cases start popping up. Oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's, and part of that, too, is there's along with all the efforts to bring support, treatment to it.
Right.
You know, that was all post-Vietnam.
Absolutely.
That's what we did. But a good part of that is trying to eliminate the stigma.
Well, and the same kind of thing too, Jerry. I think with any kind of disease that all of a sudden they've found a name for. You know, Alzheimer's became huge in the last, you know, 20, 30 years.
Right.
When it used to be called just grandpa losing his underwear.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Exactly.
You got a name for that. I mean, all of a sudden the cases just shoot up.
Right. Uncle Woo-Woo's here again or something like that. Yeah. No, but you're right. As any
sort of. That was the official name for it. Actually, Uncle Woo-Woo's here disease.
As any, with any illness or disease.
Yeah.
You know, more studies as time goes on.
Right.
And you're
and
right.
And more treatment.
Right. And, you know, we've pushed very hard for more treatment centers.
Yep.
Are there enough treatment centers? No, there isn't. But we have to go back to our conversation a few days ago when that jerk at the one VA facility down in Florida, I believe it was,
right,
said, hey, sent out a memo saying, hey, let's not be so quick to diagnose them with PTSD because, you know, we're going to have to pay them.
Exactly.
They should get paid.
They should get paid. They should get treated. They should.
That's right.
They should be the first ones to get diagnosed properly.
Yep.
We'll stay on top of that, too, and we'll tell you more about Uncle Woo-Woo's disease when we come back right here to the National Defense.
Stay tuned for more of the National Defense after this.
The VFW is looking for a few more heroes. The largest combat veterans organization in America wants to get you involved and keep you active. With nearly 2 million members and 9,000 posts around the country, the VFW is doing the tough job of supporting our troops. You can be a part of all the excellent programs that keep the fires burning on the front lines. Programs such as Operation Uplink, with phone cards for active duty and hospitalized veterans, Adopt a Unit, which provides assistance for nearly 1,000 military units, and care package efforts for the troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Only someone who's been there can understand what it means to be remembered. The VFW has been the heart and soul of the military for over 100 years. Isn't it time you stake your claim as a veteran? Call the VFW membership department at 1-888-JOIN-VFW or log on to VFW.org for more details. You've served your country. Now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, you know, we've been talking about it for weeks and weeks. Probably the biggest topic of the program, and if not the country right now, the GI Bill.
Yeah, the new GI Bill. And let me refresh everybody's memory in case they've forgotten. You know, first of all, like you said, Randy, we've been talking about this for a very long time.
Yep.
More than weeks and weeks. Your memory's going. But we've been talking about it for a very long time because it's a priority issue with the VFW. And, you know, we've asked our listeners to contact their elected officials, put their backs up against the wall, and get them to do the right thing. The VFW has fought longer and harder for a new GI Bill than any other organization, any other group of people in America.
I actually saw somebody from the VFW National in the legislation committee on TV the other day talking about the GI Bill. I could not believe it. I actually interviewed somebody from the VFW on the GI Bill.
Right. We have experts, and I can tell you that was either Dennis Cullinan or Eric Hillman. Eric has been on the show and talked about this.
It was Eric.
Eric, yeah.
That's exactly who it was.
A young veteran,
yep.
A smart guy. He knows next to our next guest, he knows all about the GI Bill.
Right.
And like I said, VFW has fought longer and harder than anybody else to get this bill passed for our troops. And
it's fine if you talk about it, but you got to land on the right ears. And we got the guy that talked to the right ears right here.
And the VFW doesn't take second place to anybody. We'll carry our message to anybody. And the national commander of the VFW recently visited the White House and gave George Bush a piece of his mind.
An earful.
Right.
Yeah.
We have with us National Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, George Lisicki. How are you, George?
I'm fine, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for being with us again. You had a big weekend, huh?
Yeah, it's been a pretty exciting weekend for me.
So the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been in the news. Congress has been going back and forth on this thing. First of all, George, as National Commander of the VFW, give us your perspective on why it's important to pass a new GI Bill, and the one we support is Jim Webb's bill.
Yes, we do, Jerry. We're supporting Jim Webb's bill, which is S-22. It's so important that these veterans today have the opportunity for a college education. As you know, back after World War II, a GI Bill was passed that allowed many of our service members to attend college and get an education and go out in public life and just help this country redevelop after the war. And it was so important at that time to get our veterans educated. And this GI Bill, which is back from World War II, is underfunded for this veteran today, as you know. It's spent many years since it was reinvented to allow college tuition for our veterans. It don't compare to World War II what that college tuition is today. So we definitely need a new GI Bill for the 21st century.
Now, there's been a lot of debate about this, George. Senator McCain supports a different version of the bill. The Pentagon, or I should say Department of Defense, Pentagon, has demonstrated strong resistance to S-22. Why is that?
Well, the main reason, Jerry, is they're worried about retention. They feel this veteran today is going to take advantage of that college education and leave the service, and it's going to leave our military short. But we disagree with them, and I had the opportunity this past week to sit in the Oval Office with the president. And the president expressed to me his concern about retention. His advisors feel that a large majority of the military are going to leave, and it's going to leave us shorthanded in the military. But we have a different view on that, Jerry. We feel that if we offer this college education to these veterans, those who want to stay are going to stay. But those who are getting tired of getting shot at, those are tired of frequent deployments, they're gonna get out of the military anyway, whether there's a college education out there for them or not. So we feel that this may be an incentive for our young people to join the military, knowing that after their military service, they're going to have the opportunity to get a college education.
Well, those are my thoughts too, George. And I've questioned the logic and the thinking, the president's logic, quite frankly, DOD, the Pentagon, and Senator McCain's argument against Senator Webb's bill. Seems to me, if I'm a young guy getting out of high school and I want to go to college but can't afford it, and I know the military has this great education benefit package, that's going to lure me to the military.
Mm-hmm.
That's our feeling too, Jerry. We feel it'll be an incentive for him to join.
Hey, we're talking to George Lisicki. And, George, it's Randy Miller. I just wanted to have a couple of questions for you here. since you did have the ear of the president, which is, you know, what a rare opportunity to talk about something this important. But when you talk about the GI Bill and you talk about the different versions of this, and this is where I have a problem with John McCain in the fact that we actually have a chance to pass something here. So in bringing up the different versions, I know you want to get it exactly right for everyone, but in the process of that, is there a chance that it could just go away again and we don't pass any form of the GI Bill?
No, I think the GI Bill is going to pass. And in fact, the words out of the president's mouth when I sat in his office, he says, you're going to get that GI Bill.
Really?
There's some facts that have to be ironed out, of course. And, of course, that Senate vote just the other day was amazing. I believe it was 75-22.
Yes.
Wow. In favor of the Webb bill. And this just shows the overwhelming and bipartisan decision of some of our lawmakers who really want this GI Bill to go through. So I think when all the facts are ironed out, you know, because the war supplement bill was also attached to that. So as soon as some of those facts are ironed out, I think that GI Bill is going to go through.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I think you're right, George. I mean, the Senate sent a clear and strong message, I think, to the president, along with your clear, strong message to the president. And, you know, I just don't see how he could veto it. But, you know, this GI Bill passes. You know, that's going to be part of your legacy as national commander because it happened under your watch. And, you know, we got to take credit when credit is due.
We do, Jerry. The VFW has put a lot of work into this. And like you mentioned before, our experts at Washington, D.C. have been working very hard on this, you know, to get this passed. And we got a lot of publicity about it. We came out, front runners to come out and support this bill, and we've been fighting for it ever since this bill was brought up. And we're going to continue to fight for the Webb bill.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's going to accomplish so much for this country. It's going to help make this country stronger. We're going to have another generation of people who serve the military getting out, transitioning to civilian life. And, you know, look what it did for the country after World War II.
Sure, it was amazing.
Know? Yeah. And
and nobody really questioned the retention problem at that point, did they? I mean, seriously, you know, you think about
you're
that.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're right, George. And you couldn't have delivered you delivered the facts to the president. That's why people are leaving the service. They're tired. They're not going to leave the service because of college benefits. Hell, they can go to college while they're in the military.
That's right. That's correct.
So, you know, those arguments are mute. And, hey, congratulations and... best to you. Thanks for delivering that message to the president.
Absolutely. George, were you invited to the wedding?
No, I missed the wedding.
Okay.
They must have been one invitation short.
Hey, listen, you know, I'd rather have you talking to the president there than at the wedding.
I'm sure.
That's great stuff. Thank
I'm
you
sure
so
we accomplished more.
Hey, George, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate talking to you.
Okay, thank you, guys.
George Lisicki, the commander. What is it, the potentate? What's the official title?
Let's go. Let's not just.
No, I'm trying.
VFW.
Major Supreme.
Commander-in-Chief.
Commander-in-Chief.
Or VFW National Commander.
National Commander.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Either way.
I'll tell you what, you know, have a guy like that talking to the president on behalf of the VFW and the GI Bill. That's strong.
Yeah, it
that's
is strong.
Stuff.
And I can't say this enough. That because we have to take credit when credit is due.
Sure.
You know, VFW, a lot of people think, a bunch of, whatever. But we've been fighting for this
absolutely.
For years.
Well, that's what's going to be interesting, Jerry, is when the GI Bill does get passed, is there going to be any mention of the VFW?
No.
No.
No, absolutely not. And you know what? That's okay.
Well, no, right. At the end of the day, hey, if it gets done, it gets done,
that's
and it's good for everybody.
Right,
I understand. Right. But as you say, the VFW has been pushing for longer than anybody's even been thinking about the GI Bill, the new GI Bill.
That's right. And here's the thing. There's been so much resistance against this. It's going to be too expensive, the retention rates, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there are billions of dollars. We talked about this a little bit last week.
Oh, yeah, right.
Have wasted money.
Sure.
And there's another report out. These reports just come out every week.
I love these, though, because it does kind of illustrate how stupid things we're doing with this money.
Right.
It should be going to, you know.
And the Pentagon, you know, who's voiced such great concern over what it's going to cost and what it's going to do to their budget and so on and so forth. Recent report came out, said nearly half of the military's $316 billion. Half of $316 billion. That's a lot of coconuts.
Yeah.
Went unchecked last year because they don't have the manpower to overlook this stuff. So, you know.
So half of the $316 billion, they don't know where it's going?
Well, yeah, they don't know if it was spent the right way. And I guarantee you, this goes back to the, what was it, the $800 toilet seats and the $500 screwdrivers, that kind of stuff. So they can't overlook it.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they can't manage the fraud, the waste. And let me tell you, all these government contracts that were awarded to, you know.
To whomever.
To whomever.
Yeah.
You know, the vice president's company, old company, or whoever.
Halliburton.
Sure. KBR, millions of dollars. You know, and these were not competitive contracts. These were just awarded.
Because nobody's checking.
Right.
Nobody's checking. Right. That's ridiculous.
But let's not spend the money on the people who are fighting a war.
Right.
And who are, you know, these companies are over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're getting rich. And our soldiers.
Come back
and
to
our
nothing.
Marines. Yeah. They're coming back to world, not even post-World War II type benefits. It's nuts.
Hey, listen, if George Lysicki can stick around the White House, that may change.
George is from Joyce.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you.
He's not going to go away.
No. And he didn't have any butterflies in his stomach.
No.
He didn't have any second thoughts about letting the president know how he felt.
I'm sure there was not a lot of small talk in that room.
No.
Not a lot of how you doing, Mr. Hey, let's get to it.
Yep.
That's good stuff. Well, we're going to stay on it, of course, and let you know what the progress is of the new GI Bill. And we got a lot to talk about on the program this week. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Shine up those boots, Private. Jerry Newberry and the National Defense will be right back.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like, thank you. Like, we'll never forget you. Like, we're behind you 100%. Like, we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
I'm Peyton Manning. Did you know that the Red Cross responds to more than 67,000 house and apartment fires every year? They show us how to prepare for emergencies from hurricanes to heart attacks. They respond immediately when lives are disrupted by natural disasters. They teach us to swim and to save lives. Red Cross volunteers and employees are committed to making our communities safer and healthier.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
I know someone with lupus.
My girlfriend.
My mommy.
We work together.
My sister.
My neighbor.
I know someone with lupus.
She's so tired.
Fatigue, achy joints, and fever.
Severe chest pains, heart problems.
Her kidneys gave up.
He had a seizure.
Pain never stops.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know has lupus.
But there is hope. For information, contact the Lupus Foundation of America at 888-38-LUPUS or lupus.org.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And we're talking about all kinds of things important to veterans again this week. And, you know, this is the only show in the country where you can hear topics that are really important to veterans.
Week after week.
Week after, and the truth about them, too, which
That's
is
right.
so good. And we get the experts on to talk about that. And we've been talking about the new GI Bill. We've been talking about veterans going back to college or going to college for the first time.
Right.
And we got on with us right now, PJ Kennedy, Doctor. He's at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Director of Counseling Services and co-advisor to the Veterans Club. Dr. Kennedy, you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Hey, Dr. Jerry Newberry, we came across a story about the university, and we just thought it was a very good story. Y'all are doing some great things for the veterans on campus. I was talking to Randy earlier, and I talked about when I tried to go to college after I got out of the military, and it's a difficult transition for a lot of people. They've spent, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years in the military.
Sure.
And in today's world, multiple deployments. So they get out, want to go to college, and they're years behind their peer group. So there they are in a classroom with people a lot younger than they are. And, it's sort of hard to explain the uneasy feeling they have trying to break into a college campus. And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about what y'all are doing at Eau Claire?
Sure. First, we know many of our students, we see them before they're deployed. They're going to school here. And they get a deployment, and some of them will come in and talk to me, and they're very idealistic and motivated and committed and wonderful people. And we try to maintain a connection with them when they leave. So we grant them a leave rather than having them dismissed from the university, so they can keep their email contact up with us.
Well, that's pretty progressive thinking.
Right. That helps keep a connection. It also means that they don't have to reapply to get back into classes. Now, I remember also getting out of the military during the Vietnam War era and feeling at 24 like I was about 90 years old.
Yeah.
And eventually I got so damn lonely with my 18-year-old classmates that I finally started to connect with them, but it took a while because you do feel a little different at first. We do see students deployed and redeployed and coming back and having that same experience where they're having a little bit of difficulty returning to that civilian community. They've lost the support of close friends and comrades that they had when they were in the service. Sometimes they're feeling real guilt about being here in a classroom while friends of theirs are facing risk overseas, wishing they were there to be of help to them.
Right.
So sometimes we see people who do have post-traumatic stress disorder. Sometimes I see people who are depressed, who have suicidal thoughts. And just as with every other war, I think there's much needed to provide support for that transition back to civilian life. And I think as a nation, we have to consider this part of the cost of war is to help people make that transition back. And so it's something that we need to do. These people put themselves on the line for us, and we need to have the same loyalty to them as they've had to us.
Professor, can I ask you something?
Sure.
What was the... the genesis of this. What provided the impetus to... for the university to step back and say, hey, these are our veterans, and here are the problems they're facing, they may face, and here's what we need to try and do for them.
Well, I think a whole group of us just almost at the same time started recognizing that we're seeing some veterans, returning veterans who needed services. So we set up a advisory committee that involved multiple areas of the university, returning adult students, disability services, counseling services, veterans services, et cetera, just a variety of areas. And and met to see what do we need to do to help, financial aid, many different areas. As in every community, many of the faculty and staff of the university are actually veterans, and so they do have an understanding of what this might be like. Our provost is a retired Air Force officer. You know, many of my of our faculty had served in the military and historically. So,
Doctor, the other question comes to mind is how do we get that message across to other universities, because this is such it is progressive thinking and probably it's sad that it's described as progressive. I mean, it would be nice if this was kind of a commonplace occurrence at other universities.
Yeah, it's too bad we even have to have them on the show.
It should be just everywhere.
Yeah, I actually think
I kind of like having them on the show. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, you know what
I'm
mean.
Honest with you.
Yeah.
I actually think that nationwide, there are many people who are supportive of our returning veterans on university campuses. I think we just need to work together to network. I know within the UW system, the veterans clubs on the different campuses are starting to network with each other. So we have a small veterans club on campus, and a lot of times the main thing veterans need is to connect with other veterans.
Now, you're a veteran yourself?
Right.
From Vietnam?
Vietnam era. I was on, closest I got to Vietnam was Guam, where I took care of people who would be injured in Vietnam and couldn't make the trip all the way back to the States and would be evacuated to Guam, and then we'd provide them with some support, and then they'd go back on to the States.
Well,
so I was a corpsman during the Vietnam era.
It's a great program, and hopefully, other colleges, universities are going to pick up your lead and get some stuff done like this, because it is such a huge, that transition period can be so difficult.
And I do think probably one of the things that I need to do, just as I'm talking to you, is interconnect, partner with the local VFW here.
That's a great idea.
And I think that probably that kind of networking across the nation, I mean, there are VFWs in every community, and there are colleges who are trying to meet the needs of a growing population of veterans, and maybe we can provide some kind of partnering with each other to provide resources for
these. That sounds like a good idea, and I'll tell you why, Doc. We have some juice there in Wisconsin, VFW wise. The national junior vice commander of the VFW, in a couple of years he's going to be the national commander, is from Wisconsin. So why don't you send me an email, and I'll give you that email. I'll probably be sorry for doing this so everybody can hear, but it's the letter J.
Okay.
Newberry, Newberry,
okay,
at vfw.org. Get a message to me, and I'll get with our National Junior Vice Commander, and I know he'll make it happen.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you for being on with us. Really appreciate it, and appreciate the service you guys are providing there in Eau Claire. Dr. Kennedy, thank you so much.
You bet.
Dr. P.J. Kennedy, University of Wisconsin. It's nice when you see somebody step up like that, Jerry.
Yeah, and you're right. Hopefully, other universities will read that story. Went out over the wire. And
it shouldn't be such a big stretch.
I know.
You know?
I know. And there shouldn't be a story. You're right.
There
shouldn't be a news story. We shouldn't have had to have him on the program.
I don't mind having a guy on. I really don't. I thought he did a good job.
You know I don't mind having him on.
I don't know why you'd object to that. The guy was fine. He was well-spoken. He's a doctor.
The unfortunate fact is we have to talk about it.
It is.
Hey,
yeah, what?
Hey, we can't forget this. Okay.
Well, Nate will let us forget anything because he's so heavily involved in other conversations. But now, what are you talking about,
hey,
Jerry?
We want people to go to our brand new, this is a brand new blog.
Dun, da, da.
Okay, here it is. It's long.
It's a blog.
And I had to write it down.
Oh, no.
It's VFW, National Defense. www.blogspot.com.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
That's not too
bad. I tell you what,
next
few months, you're going to see the thing change. You're going to see a lot of exciting interviews. You're going to see stuff, places you and I are going to be going.
Good.
So, you know, if you're going somewhere else online to listen to it, don't go there anymore. Go to VFWNationalDefense.blogspot.com.
All right. All right. That's going to be good. And that's the one that, I mean, can you hear the show there yet?
You can hear the show. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Let's talk about the Sopranos outfit.
Tony!
I've been dying for this.
Tony!
I died for you. Tony Soprano is taking off his clothes for charity. First of all, that's scary. But this is for...
Yeah. one of the episodes, they show him by the swimming pool. And I didn't appreciate that at all.
I know. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. James Gandolfini is selling off 24 outfits, including the button-down blue shirt he wore in the opening credits and a bathrobe. No, Nate, get your hand down. Nate, put your hand down.
Hey, speaking of Tony Soprano and talking about Nate,
yeah,
I'm kind of looking at him.
Well, I'm telling you, that's why he wants a bathrobe.
Tony had more hair, but, well, geographically, physically kind of thing, they kind of look like the same guy.
Nate, put your hand down. Proceeds from the sale, here's the important part. We'll go to Wounded Warrior Project. It's a nonprofit group that assists severely wounded soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. Estimates for the costumes start at $500. So this could be pretty huge. Just Gandolfini's alone expected to get, $36,000,
$37,000. Yeah, and Nate is going online right now to put on a bid for skivvies, it looks like.
Yes, he is. May I buy the skivvies, he's typing in. So
don't eat skivvies.
A tan cotton bathrobe. Please put, Nate, put your hand down.
No, but that's cool that he's doing that.
That's really cool, yeah. And another 37 outfits worn by other Sopranos characters, including Paulie Walnuts.
Paulie.
And all the guys.
Paulie.
So that's going to be great. Thank you for doing that. That is great. Hey, we'll be right back here on the National Defense.
You're cleared for shore leave, sailor. Be back by the end of these messages.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities. Freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like thank you, like we'll never forget you, like we're behind you 100%. Like we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And a lot of stuff. Man, a lot of stuff on the program this week. I love it.
A lot of different subjects.
Yep.
We're going from
all for veterans.
From Tony Soprano's underwear PTSD.
Please, Nate, put your hand down.
Or Nate in Tony Soprano's underwear is giving me PTSD.
That may be on the blog site next week. What's the address for the blog site again? We got to get that out because you got to go there.
VFW,
yes.
nationaldefense.blogspot.com. We're going to have an image of Nate
and his blogspot.
Tony Soprano's
right.
Skivvies.
Apparently, it costs more if it has the blogspot.
And the new tattoo we're going to get him right. That we're going to pay for.
Hey, you know, we're talking about different situations when you come back from Iraq, Afghanistan, and you're going to college, getting into the workforce again. How about running for Congress? All of a sudden, now you hear about all of these Iraq veterans running for Congress.
Yeah, and you know that's something that
which is great.
Well, yeah, because right now there aren't very many members of Congress who have served in the military.
How many can you name? Seriously, Watts,
John McCain,
Watts from Oklahoma,
Hagel, Chuck Hagel, of course. Yep.
Jim Webb. Yeah.
I mean,
just a handful, though.
I could sit there and think about it. But, you know, after World War II.
Harry Reid? No.
No.
I think he was in the Salvation Army for a couple of years.
Get me going.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have said. But, no, this is a great thing that they come back and they take their place.
After World War II, of course, people came home. John Kennedy is a great example.
Right.
He had a great war record. A lot of people in Congress had great war records. And, of course, they parlayed their military records into an elective office. I mean, let's be honest here.
I know, but now, see, that is what's going to be interesting about this, Jerry. How will this affect? You're right, though. I mean, they ran on their military records. They held
Doesn't
that up
hurt.
For inspection.
Right.
Well, it didn't hurt.
No.
Now, I wonder, we'll see, right?
I still don't think it'll hurt.
Well, it should. Of course it should not.
No.
But I'm just...
But here's the deal, Randy.
Yeah.
For years. Now, you know, we've been talking about the GI Bill. We've been talking about, for several years now, adequate funding for VA healthcare system.
That's right.
Ad infinitum. And the argument is there that, yeah, all these people in Congress who have never served in the military, so they don't understand the military. They don't understand the culture.
Right.
They don't understand the needs. They don't understand the demands, the stress, all the things involved with the military. And here they are in Congress making decisions, budget decisions, all sorts of decisions that impact the lives of those people serving in the military. And it
right.
continues down
down
the road that you have people sitting on a Veterans Affairs committees
sure.
in the Senate and the House where the majority of them haven't served in the military. They're not veterans, but yet they're making these life decisions
right.
For our nation's veterans when they don't get it. Yeah, you know, they'll spout the rhetoric and they'll spew all the garbage out.
Yeah.
You know, we got to do all that. Blah, 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 blah. And, but they don't get it because they haven't been there.
Well, and it's almost to the point where I wish we could pass some legislation that you're not allowed to vote on the GI Bill unless you served in the military. Now, that would only be 35. That's the number now, 35 combat veterans in Congress.
So you have 435 members of the House, if my political science class.
35.
And you have 100 members of the Senate. So out of 535 people in Congress.
You got 35 that
35.
Served. Yeah.
So what's the percentage? Is that 10%?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's incredible that. These people should even be allowed to sit there. And
no, it's not even 10%.
No, it's not even 10%.
Because it'd be 53 if it was 10%.
That's right.
So, yeah.
So it's less than, we can say officially, it's less than 10%.
Absolutely.
Of the
We have a college intern sitting in the studio with us today.
Obviously not math inclined.
Kara Puthoff. What percentage of that, Kara?
Kara, what would that be? What would that be?
Speak up.
What percentage of that? Would?
What were the numbers again?
Okay, never mind.
Never mind.
Anyway.
God. Nate.
She's still thinking about Nate in the Tony Soprano outfit.
Nate was bragging last week
how
he aced his Spanish exam. What percentage is that? He's on the computer trying to use a calculator.
Yeah, I know he is.
Never mind. The point is this. Yeah. Less than 10%.
That's also how he aced his Spanish test, by the way.
Yeah, calculator's not that. Spanish.
Less than 10% of people serving in Congress, they've been making these decisions impacting our military, families,
here's the thing.
Our nation's veterans.
Right.
So things are going to swing the other way, I think.
Here's my question, though, Jerry. I mean, when you do it, you are, I think, putting some pressure on yourself when you do run for Congress as a veteran. Because just like a John McCain running for president, I mean, it's a much bigger stage. I understand that. But, boy, if there's a veterans issue, hey, man, you better come through with that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
and that's a great point you're bringing up, Randy. I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
You're a smart guy. people sometimes fall into the trap because, you know, so-and-so served in the military, so he's a patriot. That makes him more qualified or more patriotic than the other candidate.
Right.
That's not true.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a good example of this. I'm going to catch some fire for this, but I don't care. The flag amendment issue was a hot topic with one of these service organizations, has been for a number of years. They make a lot of money on that issue.
Absolutely.
They want to change the Constitution. So what has happened and continues to happen is members of Congress will vote for that flag amendment knowing that it's not going to pass.
Right.
And so they can stand up there
on the record.
Say, hey, I voted for the flag. I love America.
Yeah.
But yet, when it comes to the GI Bill or adequate funding or a host and myriad of other veteran or military-related issues, they vote against them time and time and time again. And veterans overlook that. They say, well,
he voted for the flag.
He's a veteran, and he voted for the flag. That's
right.
That's all I need to know.
Yep.
And that's not good thinking. It's very myopic, and it's not a good thing. So that's the other side of that.
But
argument.
The good news in all of this is that there are more veterans now that are running for Congress.
Right.
And, you know, as with anything else, don't vote because you're a veteran. Vote for their record, for the kind of person they are,
right?
As and hold them to the same standards as anybody else,
and just don't vote on a veteran issue,
right?
I mean, there's a lot of issues facing this country,
right?
Healthcare and education and on and on. You can't be one issue person.
No, and you got to find out how they feel on Uncle Woo Woo, and we're gonna examine that next week. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the blog. We'll see you right back here next week on the National Defense.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it costs.